This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Tuesday, April 26th, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Mike Wright, Jason Moore.
What up?
Whoa. Yeah. Andy Holloway back with you.
I'm super excited to be here, guys.
And we're excited to have you back. How you feeling? Pretty good?
Yeah, I feel great.
Back out on the pickle courts.
Back out on the pickle courts immediately. Pickle is life. Mm-hmm. COVID is gone, and yay, we're back.
You just got snacks chilling on our table in here?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want me to eat this on air. This is a crunchy...
crunchy piece of cheese.
Crunchy piece of cheese.
So back at normal life for you. No, we're excited to have you back. Jay Gris was getting irritable. Mm-hmm. And we've got you back in business on Ultimate Draft Week. The NFL Draft, it's here, guys, Thursday.
Yes.
And we have a lot of fun things planned. We'll wrap up our early rankings shows today. We got the top 12 quarterbacks. Do it a little different today. We're going to count them down to number one overall.
Let's try it on.
And maybe get into some mailbag. We got a dynasty download on today's show. But Ultimate Draft Week, it's happening. And what am I talking about? We have a very special promotion on the Ultimate Draft Kit this week. We're giving away another Listener League spot.
Oh, baby.
And we're giving away a signed Justin Jefferson jersey.
Yeah.
And a signed Deebo Samuel jersey as well.
Please stay in San Francisco. It's a 49ers jersey.
And here's how you enter to win by this Sunday. So anybody before Sunday, May 1st, pre-order the Ultimate Draft Kit at ultimatedraftkit.com, and you will be entered to win. So we'll be giving away that spot very, very soon. The Ultimate Draft Kit is your number one tool to get ready for the upcoming fantasy football season. There is content available right now in the UDK Plus with the Dynasty Pass. So that's all happening this week. And then we have basically 3 days of special events on top of the show.
Just want to throw in an extra reminder. If you have already pre-ordered the UDK, you're in this drawing too.
Yeah.
Fear not.
That's right. So this is your chance to get in if you haven't pre-ordered.
Correct.
By Sunday, May 1st, ultimatedraftkit.com. On Wednesday, we're going to be doing a community event on our Discord server for everybody supporting the show at jointhefoot.com. Going to talk commissioner questions, how to make leagues better. Everyone, all of our supporters can participate over there.
Yeah, and Papa Josh is going to be running this community event. And like with an actual, if you really want to participate with your voice, you can raise your hand, go on stage, you know, and cut it up in there.
Thursday, we have the very special live event 1 hour before the NFL draft, a little pre-draft party with the footballers that will be live on Spotify Live. And so that will be happening on Thursday. And then Friday, we'll be doing another live event with our round one reactions And that is on Friday, an hour before the draft as well. And that'll be on YouTube.
Yeah. Yes.
That'll be on YouTube. So lots
non-stop.
Going on.
Non-stop yes. Fantasy footballers this week.
That's right. And we'll have a show on Thursday as well. Brooksy will be making, what, some predictions on rookie teams?
Yes, sir.
Where they're going to land?
Yep. And we got to figure out what's on the line. Are
we
doing
we're putting it back.
Yeah, the glamour shot.
The glamour shot.
The glamour shot will be coming back. Also, when we make those predictions, if we can get two of them right this year, that's a grand slam.
This year, last year, we did very well.
You and I did. I mean,
well, sure. Well, yeah. No, I did.
Mr. Glamour shot over
the
there.
The wellest. But, this year, it is such a crapshoot. I mean,
the number one pick's already changing.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting come Thursday. That live show we're doing is going to be so hype. Mm-hmm. If you're not yet excited for this draft, join us.
Yeah, this will be a lot of fun, and you'll finally have the depth charts figured out. You're going to have your surprises like last draft when poor James Robinson, the Travis Etienne draft pick in the first round. There'll be a lot of surprises. I think there are going to be players like Devontae Smith that you're starting to wonder about their long-term value because of picks being made, but we'll find out. Mm-hmm. It's coming soon, Thursday. Let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league.
All right. Let's get into it. 49ers general manager John Lynch told reporters he cannot imagine a scenario where they let Deebo Samuel go. Jason, the Deebo drama last week. Do you have any thoughts on whether or not you expect him? Like, what are your odds based on everything you've seen of him staying put versus getting traded maybe at or after the draft?
Yeah, it's very interesting because, you know, from all corners, it seems like it's not a money thing, but I still think that that is the actual route. I think that he
you
was...
You do, even with Deebo saying it's not money? Well, I mean, the whispers are...
I don't think it's about money right now, but I think that money was a part of the beginning. The fact that he was used so much as a running back. You know, now it's about the utilization. But I think that they used the utilization in the offer to say, well, you know, this is what top running backs get paid. This is what top wide receivers. And he's like, well, no, I just want to have a longer career, getting paid more money, and be able to walk well at the end of it. And so I still lean that the 49ers are going to figure this out.
To keep him.
But this could get ugly. This could be a holdout situation. If he really stands his ground and the Niners stand their ground, they play a game of chicken, you know, that it's just one of those
situations. Sorry. It rarely works out for the team is what I was going to say. Like where, you know, you've got that extra layer, right? It's not just, yes, you could force him to kind of lose money or stay there, but you've got a layer of like discontentment and a disgruntled player and a locker room to worry about. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I know that they're going to want a lot for Deebo.
Right.
But
so the lay of the land is he has one more year left on his contract, on his rookie deal. So he can bet on himself and sign nothing. And then the 49ers options are long-term or franchise, which, I mean, the franchise, that's a good amount of guaranteed money.
That's a wide receiver tag.
Yes. The franchise of the wide receiver. But the... what you're talking about, Andy, is because of how the bargaining agreement is, where these guys essentially can't hold out and like skip training camp and not be there physically. I mean, if you guys recall, I think it was Melvin
Gordon.
Ingram on the Chargers one. Did you get on Hard Knocks? Somebody, I can't remember who it was, but they were
Melvin Ingram on Hard Knocks,
but he was just there.
Like he was just hanging out.
He was not participating, but he was...
reporting.
Yes, he was there and then was eventually...
I'm reporting for no duty.
Well, Deebo is... there's an animosity here. That
sure.
Was not there for Melvin Ingram.
If I am Deebo or his agent, based on his lengthy injury history, I don't bet on myself. I capitalize on what I did. I get something long-term.
All right, and then more 49ers news. Matt Miyoko reporting from NBC, Elijah Mitchell playing hurt towards the end of the season. Had a clean. He needed a cleanup procedure on his knee.
Okay.
I mean, I I think we kind of knew he was playing hurt because he was hurt a lot. And he was fighting to get back out on the field. But having the cleanup procedure, you know, what does that mean for his future?
We'll find out on Thursday and Friday.
Kadarius Toney, trade rumors about wide receiver Kadarius Toney, their first round pick last year. It seems like those have calmed down. So I don't know if we'll see anything happening there. And then more news out of Seattle, which
I think this is big news, personally.
Okay. They're reporting that it's unclear if or when Chris Carson will be able to return. I was on a show 2 weeks ago on my breakout. They wanted an early breakout, and it was Rashad Penny.
That's why.
Because I don't believe Chris Carson is going to have the role anybody right now expects him to have. In other words, I don't think he has a big one.
Right.
Whether he's back or whether he's not back, I don't think he's the main runner. It's going to be Penny.
Yeah, it will. And it's greater than zero that Chris Carson has played the last football of his career.
Yeah, exactly. And so Rashad Penny is, you know, betting on himself. I believe it was the one-year deal with Seattle. Now, the Seahawks won't be what they were because they will either have Drew Locke or Geno Smith or a rookie as their quarterback. But Rashad Penny really showed out.
And Baker Mayfield.
I mean, it's just somebody. So their offense won't be able to rely on a quarterback. But it's Pete Carroll, who it's a very high-T situation. They will establish it up there. And Rashad Penny, if he's the bell cow running back, I think that he can be, you know, sneaky good. We'll have to pay attention to his ADP, but he seems like a guy that will go later that may be a true starting running back that you can get in the middle of the draft.
Well, I mean, you just go back to last year where Drew Locke was. Not a very good Denver team. Had some running backs doing some serious damage on that team. You know, he can hand it off with the best of them.
Yes, he can.
And then Byron Pringle, Bears wide receiver, arrested for reckless driving. Driving with a suspended license.
The Bears cannot afford to lose players. They have so few of them. And, so that's does this make it more likely that they take a wide receiver in the draft?
I don't know that it makes it more likely, but if they do not and Pringle has to serve a couple games suspension, I mean, it's just, yeah, the Bears don't have a first-round pick because they used it to trade up for Justin Fields. They are...
Who now looks like a lame duck quarterback on one of the worst teams in football.
It is so upsetting that it feels like Justin Fields is set up to be sacrificed to the NFL.
Yeah, that was the expression you used the other day. Is you're like, please don't sacrifice Justin Fields.
Why are we doing this? Like, I think that it wasn't a great rookie season. Definitely understand that, but he at least showed some flashes that he can be a starting quarterback.
Great or not, if you trade up that many picks to go get a guy, you got to give him.
Oh, he'll get some time.
To succeed.
He'll get some time, but the team around him is going to be horse doo doo.
Yeah, I mean, there's a logic to it though. There is a logic to inheriting, you know, it's a new regime coming in, and they inherited what they inherited, and they looked at their roster and said, the best thing forward for the future of this franchise is to tear it down to the nubs,
right?
Get out of this cap situation we're in, and have a rebuilding plan, you know, that takes an extra year. And so hopefully they just give Justin Fields enough time, and he does enough on the field to show a progression, even if he's not great, to where the following year he can get the weapons and have a team put around him.
Yeah, I don't know if I think what Mike was saying is what I think will happen, which is there comes a point you go Sam Darnold in your career, which is you're hit enough times, your offensive line doesn't do enough, you don't have wide receivers that are getting separation, so you become gun shy, right?
David Carr.
Yeah. And there's a long list of them, and right now you're throwing the ball to Darnell Mooney.
End of list.
David Moore, Daz Newsome.
Oh, I forgot they got
Isaiah Coulter.
They got Equanimeous.
And to be clear, I got no animus against the Bears at all. This is just the reality. And any true Bears fan, and I've talked to several of them, they know what's happening right now. And many are in favor of the idea of tearing it down to the nubs and building it the right way. But it's going to take time.
The issue with this strategy is if they end up with a top five pick, Or the number two pick, or, you know, something like that.
Yes.
Then you're going, okay, is there a superstar quarterback here that they can draft that they believe in more than the quarterback that just got them, you know, a top five pick.
Yep, and wasn't drafted by this regime, right?
That's my fear with Davis Mills, because I think he's a good quarterback, showed a lot his rookie year, but they're going to have a top five pick in Houston, and so it's like...
Not if Davis Mills has anything to say about it. Okay, any other news, Brooksy?
No, sir.
Nothing else to handle? You guys want to talk quarterbacks?
Let's go.
Quarterbacks.
All right, if you want deep dives on all of these players, you can go back to the Truth episodes where we broke down the consistency of every quarterback. Those episodes were, what, February, Brooksy?
Actually, I think...
March?
Late January, I think.
Late January?
Yeah.
Who knows? That was a long time ago. But today we're just going to be counting down our top 12 early running back or early quarterback rankings. We each put lists together. And you know, when you think about how things will shuffle, I think the quarterback's probably the least likely to shuffle from all the early rankings, you know, in terms of maybe some of these guys get a different weapon in the draft and you're slightly thinking differently about them. Maybe Aaron Rodgers ends up with a top wide receiver. But I think broadly speaking, it's probably going to be similar to this heading into the year. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
4-point passing touchdown. Obviously no rookies yet in these rankings, but let's count it down. Matthew Stafford at number 12, 34 years old. I got him at 11, Jason at 12, Mike at 14. His best ball ADP right now is QB 10, so we're slightly behind that. He was steady.
Yeah, I mean,
but not spectacular.
It's kind of disrespectful, to be honest, what we're doing here, because, you know, he finished last season as the quarterback 5. He almost threw for 5,000 yards, had 41 passing touchdowns, and has, in his career, been a top 10 quarterback many, many times. And now he's with McVay year 2. They add Allen Robinson. So, you know, this is the one guy where I look at and I feel like I don't want him higher because he doesn't run the ball as much. I want someone who can, you know, score on the ground, because otherwise, if he throws for 32 touchdowns, which is decent but not otherworldly, you know, you tumble in fantasy football. But at the same time, it just seems like he's just set up to succeed. Their team should do more of what they did last year. And if he finished as quarterback 5, now where you didn't feel it though last year.
In stretches,
you didn't very often, because you're playing in a 10-12 team fantasy league and you have a player that, like, rarely put up the elite top tier numbers. He was the Jalen Hurts, you know, type of experience where it was like steady, but rarely put up a prolific Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, these number one overall weeks that won your week. Like, if he got fantasy points for wins, I'd be all over Matthew Stafford this year. But I don't think they need him to do it as much.
And a concern would be his touchdown rate. So 6.8% of his attempts were touchdowns, and that's high. That's 2 points over the NFL average. And like, on his career, he's about a 4.5% touchdown thrower, which, again, he's on a much better team now than he has been with where he was in Detroit and it was Megatron or bust. But at 6.8, I mean, if that number comes down, which I would expect it to, I mean, which also that would impact Cooper Kupp at the same time. But for him to replicate those types of numbers, it's just statistically not likely.
Two things. One, their running game should be better than what they had last
year. That as well,
year.
Yes.
Two, 10 of the 18 weeks he was quarterback 10 or worse. Okay? So that's what you felt. You felt everyone else in the league starting a quarterback, and you have one of the worst ones on the week more than half the time. So he wasn't, you know, giving you 20 or below, but he wasn't great.
And the way that the story unfolded for him fantasy-wise, where if you held on to him, you know, week 6, he was the QB4, had a decent showing, and then he rattled off, 3 weeks in a row where he was a solid fantasy quarterback, but then he hurt you. And then he went into the bye week, and coming out of the bye week, he was actually solid. But at that point, did you hold on to him through the bye week? Were you willing to to ride that out? Probably not. And then by the time you jump back in with Matthew Stafford in the fantasy football playoffs, he was very disappointing. And against Minnesota, man, QB 24 against Minnesota.
Under 10 points.
Which was a delightful matchup.
Also, new offensive coordinator this year as well.
It's McVay.
Do we have
offensive assistant?
Sorry, offensive assistant. Do we have any additional thoughts on Stafford?
Nope.
Number 11.
Oh.
Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles. Jason has him up at 6. Mike and I have him at 12. Last year, 3,100 passing yards, 16 passing touchdowns. Is that right?
That is correct.
9 interceptions. So he finished as the quarterback 9 last season. And the story for Jalen Hurts is one of rushing yardage, right?
So you need to add in the 10 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, I think the number is 43% of his entire fantasy points came running the football. So, I think Philly will draft another wide receiver.
Certainly.
But they transformed their offense to be very run heavy over the back half of the year, and they've basically said they're going to keep doing that. So it's just a question of where do you think he's going to slot in. I think he's still a quarterback one, but your risk is still there for Jalen Hurts. And so, Jason, you're the most bullish. Why don't you tell us why?
Yeah, I mean, one, I think that he is capable. He has the rare skill set where he is capable of going nuclear. He didn't necessarily do that, right? He was the consistent almost every week when he was healthy before the ankle injury at the end of the season. He was a top 12 guy, but he was never like the number one. But because of the ability to rush for as many yards and touchdowns as he can, if the passing game takes a level up, which their weapons, I think, after the draft will be better. I'm expecting him to have a little bit, a better option to throw the ball to. Plus, he's a young guy that, you know, last year was his first full start. And so, I think he gets better this year than he was last year. And last year, on a points-per-game basis, he was the quarterback 6. He was fantastic. Before the ankle injury, he was so consistent. So the way I look at it is his upside is enormous. And his floor is really safe, barring injury. I don't see anything to not like personally in Justin Fields for fantasy football in
this. Jalen Hurts? What about Jalen Hurts, though?
Yeah, I would prefer Jalen Hurts.
You mean on Justin Fields?
Yeah. No, I'm not. but I am in on Jalen Hurts.
I don't like my current ranking of Hurts. After the ankle injury, when he came back, he was averaging about 30 rushing yards a game, where before that, when he was very solid, he was rushing for over 57 yards a game. And I agree with Jason that Devontae Smith, solid rookie season. But other than that, I mean, Dallas Goedert was okay. He sort of had Zach Ertz for a little bit before he traded him. But the rest of the wide receivers are pretty disappointing for the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're going to – I do think they will bring somebody else in. And if that passing game does actually level up, Jalen Hurts, I think he's one of these guys that we're talking about. He could be a monster for fantasy.
They basically reduced the pass attempts per game by 10 a game over the back half of the year. In fact, only the Patriots had a higher neutral situation rush rate. So that's a concern, is total volume for me. When you throw for 3,000 yards, you have to draw a line in the sand on whether or not those numbers are going to improve. Because if they don't improve and he doesn't go double-digit touchdowns on the ground,
right,
then he won't finish as high as he did last year.
And he threw a touchdown 3.7% of his attempts, which is low. So, I mean, even I'm okay with his volume being a bit lower. We just need that Lamar Jackson. When your passing volume is low, you're still hitting in the passing touchdowns as well.
Aaron Rodgers at number 10, 38 years old. I've got him at 8, Mike at 9, Jason at 13. He's currently being drafted at QB 12 overall. Just got paid all of the monies in the world.
All of the monies.
$150.8 million. It's a long and storied career for Aaron Rodgers. Had some very prolific weeks last year, week 11 and 12, number 2 overall on both of those weeks, back-to-back. You can always bank on a couple touchdowns from him, but he loses Davante Adams, and I'm assuming that has a lot to do with what Jason's ranking is doing here. But he's been a top 10 fantasy quarterback in 9 of 11 seasons. So, Jason, you have him outside the top 10 this year, top 12.
Yeah, it is 100% Davante Adams related. I mean, if you look at the last 2 years, Mike's been talking about the touchdown rate. His touchdown rate last 2 years was 9.1 and 7%. Great numbers. The 2 years prior to that, where he was still a great quarterback, he's still Aaron Rodgers in his prime, was 4.6, 4.2%. That's far more what I expect. I expect him to be in the fours without his go-to weapon on the goal line when it comes to his touchdown rate. And if he loses that, he's not the Aaron Rodgers of old rushing-wise. So I could easily see him slipping outside of the top 12 for fantasy in a four-point passing touchdown league where rushing volume matters and you lost the best wide receiver in the game.
Yeah, he's very difficult to gauge at this point of losing the number one guy that has to hurt. But Rodgers has been so good for so long, and he didn't look like he was slowing down at all this past season. So I don't he's very tricky because I don't want to bet on Aaron Rodgers for fantasy football. I don't want to bet against Aaron Rodgers when it comes to fantasy football either. I'm in the midst of a mock we're doing with our writers. It's a 14-teamer, and I got Rodgers. I think I took the it's like the 11th quarter. Wait, no, 13th quarterback or something. So he's
good job, right where I have him ranked.
Yeah, he looks like he's going to be available later than usual, and you have to believe that the upside is still there for a guy that is just he's 4,030 basically every year.
What was bewildering to me, because I didn't expect to find it, but when you go back and you look from like 2017 on, when Rodgers played without Davante Adams, he averaged more fantasy points.
Yeah.
Like they're basically the same number, but it's slightly higher without Davante Adams. So he has always kind of found a way, and I don't know if he'll be able to continue to do that. The age factor is a part of it, but you know, he's one of those players that you could look back at after the draft and go, why didn't I just take him? Why did I go in on this player? Why didn't I just take Aaron Rodgers and play him at quarterback because he's safe? And you know, they made a commitment to him, right? Like he's going to be doing this for a couple more years. They're going to put pieces around him, and maybe this draft is going to build that out pretty quickly with multiple first round picks.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to get into the rest of the quarterbacks, but let's take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
You guys ready to talk Joe Burrow?
Okay.
Number nine, Joe Burrow. 25 years old. Jason has him at nine. Mike and I have him at 10. He had those two absolutely incredible number one overall finishes in week 16 and 17. He is the opposite of the playoff Burns, right?
Yes.
He is the you might have got a tattoo of Joe Burrow guy because of what he represented to your fantasy roster when it counted down the stretch. And having players like Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, it gives you this baseline of excellence at the wide receiver position.
He could also be your mortal enemy.
Who could?
Joe Burrow.
Really?
Yeah, because he won a lot of people championships.
Yeah,
which
I
means,
mean, like, your boy faced him in the playoffs.
I see.
I faced him.
He could have ruined you.
I faced him the week before, me and my son.
I see.
And he destroyed our dreams.
Yeah. So there's that. But is he going to make people happy this year?
Oh, man.
Yes.
Oh, we're going right to yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with yes. As if I have to, you know, we're talking, you don't want to bet on Rodgers. You don't want to bet against him.
Mm-hmm.
I would bet on Joe Burrow to level up. I know that a lot of production came those last 2 weeks. But before those 2 weeks, if you look at the first 15, he was still a top 10 quarterback. He wasn't bad. And the same way that I expect most year two players to level up and most young people to get better as they get into the prime of their career, you have a trifecta here of youth. You have Joe Burrow coming into his own off the Super Bowl run, so he's going to be more and more in control. He's further removed from the really bad knee injury he had, so he's fully healthy coming in, and now you've got a rookie and a second-year wide receiver who are, you know, going to level up themselves in Chase and T. Higgins. So I think the weapons combined with him taking over that town, I really think that they're going to give him the chance to be special. And I haven't seen anything from him to make me believe that he'll fail. So if I'm going to bet at whether or not he's going to be special, I will bet that he will be.
The bet, though, is on
touchdown rate.
It's on a guy who's being currently drafted as the QB6 in best ball.
So he might be priced in. Like, he has to be.
He has to.
Right.
Before the explosion of those playoff weeks, he was the QB11 in points per game. He was 0.6 points better than Kirk Cousins on a points per game basis.
One finish in the top eight through the first 15 weeks.
Joe Burrow is
with the same talent.
Is
that was
so
there.
So difficult to gauge, but like I love him. You know, if you have him in a dynasty league, that's very exciting. But in redraft, I am not paying the QB6 price for Joe Burrow.
His touchdown rate doubled from 3.2% to 6.5%. So that will be something to pay attention to. He's in a very difficult division. In terms of the defenses he's going to face. So he gets to face Cleveland twice. He gets to play, obviously, the Ravens and Steelers twice. So it will be interesting to see if he can kind of replicate the magic of the end of the year consistently through the season. And I think that's going to be the bet. But it seems like everybody's betting that he will with the price.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, and it's
so he probably won't be on my teams either.
Yeah, I get betting against the fantasy ceiling because of the lack of rushing production. I still wonder how much of that was the knee, but I also think as he's progressing as a pocket passer, he won't be relying on the run. He does have the capability to do it. I understand if you're saying he's going as a top six guy, maybe you feel like, well, that's probably what his ceiling is without the rushing production, so maybe it's not worth it, but if he finishes the season as the quarterback five, I think that there's good odds that he's right up there with the best of them.
Oh, I think he can finish as a top six guy. It's just playing the market is what makes
he'll
me
have out. To throw 40. I mean, he'll have to throw 40 touchdowns to do that.
He'll have to get close, yeah.
Dak Prescott at 8. How are we feeling about Dak? Because it's a weird vibe with Dak right now. Mike and I have him at 7. Jason has him at 10. Dallas scores a bunch of points. They ship off Amari Cooper. Dak is, you know, he's got enough seasons under his belt where you kind of, it's like how Russ has been, right? Where you kind of look at it and you just, he's always there, right? I mean, he's always in the top 12, bar other than, which he has been for five seasons other than his injury season.
Mm-hmm.
He's had multiple finishes much higher than that. And, you know, I just don't want to be in that position. Now, he's being drafted as the quarterback 8, right where we have him. So I guess he's not being discounted very much.
And he did all of that. So, you know, 4,500 yards, 37 passing touchdowns. And he didn't get his usual just a couple rushing touchdown bumps. Like he's not prolific when it comes to running the ball, but frequently when they get inside the five, he calls his own number and he goes in. You know,
he started his career with the mark of the beast.
Yeah, he hit him with the 666 and then three.
Rushing touchdowns?
Yes.
That's the first three seasons.
Cool.
And then three, and he had three in his season when he played five games. So to have done what he did last year without that normal, you know, just a little extra juice every once in a while from the rushing touchdowns, and they're going to address the wide receiver position as well. They are that dark horse team, I think, that can grab a wide receiver in the first.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think he will be a top 12 guy again, but the ceiling I worry about a little bit, because losing Amari Cooper and having CeeDee Lamb, who now has the opportunity to really be special, it's just a matter of how confident are you that CeeDee Lamb really, really, really will take that leap to being a superstar? And I've got fears around that.
Sure.
So I think that the ceiling is capped with Dak. They will score a bunch of points. He will be a top 12 guy, but I don't think he's got the weapons to be the top five.
I like the doctor a lot.
Outside of Dalton Schultz and CeeDee Lamb, their weapons, they don't have any.
Well, Gallup once he's back, but that's a
right.
That's a TBD.
I mean, right now it's kind of thin. So got to fix the weapons and got to, you know, give him more of a ceiling, I think, is what fantasy players would like to see. Number 7, Thomas Brady.
Again.
Because he once retired, and he was retired for a really long time, and then he wasn't retired anymore.
He was running low.
I mean, guys, he's going to be 45.
He's incredible.
I mean, that is a silly age to be producing 5,300 yards and 43 touchdowns.
I think that was quarterback
3 last year, by the way.
Yeah, I think he's going for 45 touchdowns at 45. So if he gets that, will you be happy, Andy, if he gets 45 touchdowns?
I just don't think he can do it.
Yeah, I mean,
but he has
45 is absurd.
Yeah, but he has to. Because he's 45. Yeah.
Including playoffs?
No.
Oh, well,
no, right. No. These are regular season stats.
The weapons are...
That was my question. Is without Chris Godwin, because Chris Godwin was going to miss time because of the ACL, how comfortable are
without
you?
Without Gronk, without Antonio Brown.
I think Gronk will be there. Okay. I found it
skipping some camp.
I found it funny that when you're betting on who, there's like a prop bet of who catches the first touchdown from Brady. Mike Evans had the best odds, and Gronk had the second best odds,
who isn't
even on the roster right now. So, yeah, skipping some camp. Gronk currently is not there. Godwin has, you know, that very similar timeline to Gallup, where he could be there early and be okay. But it could take a while. They signed Russell Gage, and they've got Mike Evans. So assuming that Gronk is there, I'm still fine believing that Brady's going to throw a bunch of touchdowns. This division is ripe for the taking. That's four easy games. And, I mean, how can you bet against him after him basically always doing it?
He's being drafted as the quarterback 9 after a quarterback 3 finish. Now, that might get swayed over the course of the offseason and camp, but – right now, Brady, you know, if you believe that, he should stand out as one of your biggest values right now.
Yeah, he will be. I don't think he'll be in the top 10 when it comes to the draft day because he's old. And even though he had a great season, there are we see it time and time and time again. With Brady himself, you feel like his arrow can only point down. So you're swinging for the fences on guys like Jalen Hurts. Like, Jalen Hurts will be drafted ahead of Tom Brady, and so even though I like Jalen Hurts and I see the potential,
maybe
I think
Hurts is QB 11 right now.
We'll see post draft with weapons, but I, you know, if Brady drops to be the quarterback 10 or 11 or, you know, something like that in draft day, I'll end up with a lot of them.
Say, if that happens, how do you go in early in the middle rounds of your draft on Joe Burrow?
You shouldn't.
Or just wait and even go early on. Like, you could, if the disparity is that wide of QB 6 to QB 10, I mean, you can take Tom Brady two rounds early.
Well, this is.
Oh, I do not like talking about Tom Brady all the time. Just retire.
This is one of the problems with drafting a quarterback who doesn't run pretty high because of what you're talking about. Like Joe Burrow, when I said he has to throw 40, right? Brady threw 40 2 years ago. 40 and 12. Finished as the quarterback 8.
Right.
So it took 43 of them to get him up to quarterback 3. But it's like, you know, Burrow can go out and throw 40 and end up the quarterback 8. And then somebody like Jalen Hurts can go out and throw 16 and end up the quarterback 6 or 7. So that is just the gamble. And it's something that we've done as fantasy players for years and years and years. It used to be the Phillip Rivers gamble. Oh, are you going to get a 40? A 40 right. from River. It used to be the Matthew Stafford gamble, right? Once Matthew Stafford gave you one season with Calvin where he threw 40 touchdowns, you spent the next 5 saying, here comes, I mean, he can only get better.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the 40 touchdowns? And that's the hard part with that dependency, because it cannot be their fault. They can lead the team on a drive down the field, and then it's at the 1 yard line, and Joe Mixon scores, or Leonard Fournette scores, and it's like, well, that was just somebody falling over a yard short.
Right.
Russell Wilson.
Unlimited.
Coming in at number 6. So, Russ makes his debut in Denver. He's free from the conservative play calling of Pete Carroll. Peach Cobbler himself. Should see more early down pass attempts. That's inevitable. They're going to let Russ cook. I don't know. I have heard that altitude affects cooking,
yeah,
and
yeah,
the food you eat and the taste,
yeah,
and you're gonna be mile high.
It changes.
So I'm not sure what it's gonna taste like.
Well, I mean,
you gotta do the cooking by the book.
Thank you.
You know you can't be lazy.
I am in.
Me too,
man. I am all the chips are all in for Russell Wilson. The second half of last year looked terrible. I'm choosing to believe that was completely the finger injury came back before he needed to come back, and he couldn't even hold on to the football properly. He is surrounded by talent. So, like, his situation of going from Lockett and DK to Judy, Fireball Jones, and Cortland Sutton, I think it's a pretty lateral move. Then you toss in that, you know, that Nathaniel Hackett is going to be the guy calling the shots here and bringing that more of a pass-heavy approach. I think that Russ Wilson will finally be unleashed, and I am fascinated to watch, and I'm betting that he's going to have great fantasy success.
Yeah, he's never in his entire career until this injured season been outside a top 12 quarterback. Now, there's a lot of historical data of quarterbacks changing teams usually gets worse for them, but this is a very specific situation of a superstar changing teams from a team that did not want to let him be unleashed. And that's, I think, the reason why he wanted out is he wanted to be able to play like he sees Mahomes play. And
right.
I mean, he even made comments to that point in the past of talking about he sees what Kansas City is doing and wishes, you know, they could play like that. And then he gets his way out of town, has the weapons, and I think he's going to be a top 10 guy.
Yeah, I think we all agree on that. The one thing that we haven't seen is him do it in an efficient way, because when he did get away from him, right? Like 2 years ago when they finally – they had that going the first half of the year, he became very turnover prone in the back half of the year, and it was kind of uncharacteristic. And so if he is allowed to do it, will there be some side effects to that? Will you have somebody that turns the ball over more? I don't know.
I hope so.
But
give me Jameis Winston for fantasy.
But let's get into our top five. Number five, Lamar Jackson. We all have him ranked very similarly. Lamar, we haven't had that MVP season from him in a little while, but the baseline and the amount of this offense that he has to carry for the roster, you know, it's all on his back every single week. And that's great for fantasy, right? You want somebody that's going to basically look at every play like, I have to do something here, either with his legs or in the passing game, probably to Mark Andrews. And so that's what you're banking on with this ranking. He's being drafted as the quarterback 4 in best ball. He was the quarterback 5 last year in points per game before the injury, and that's what you should pay attention to. Finished at 15, but missed a bunch of time with injury.
Yeah, he's the quarterback 5, and their offense was really hindered by the fact that all their running backs got injured. You know, they're going to score more points with Juice than they will with Latavius Murray and a 100-year-old Devonta Freeman. I think that the offense moves better, and he showed on film, I thought, some good passing. The weapons of Mark Andrews and Hollywood and Bateman are really, really good. So it's just a matter of volume with him, but because of the rushing upside, I mean, we've obviously seen what he can do. I don't think we'll ever see him do what he did the year where he wasn't he like 9% touchdown rate?
Yes.
Asinine. And I don't think he'll get back to there ever again. But he, like you said, Andy, in that season last year, he was 5th in points per game. And I don't feel like we were super happy with him anyways. He, when you run like he does, your floor is just so high. You can't really fall outside of being a quarterback 1.
The problem last year was the inconsistency of his spike weeks were, he had a few of them and they were huge, and then he was just kind of eh. But also, we got to go back to who is Juice, Jason?
I'm saying not a person, but running backs with juice, having juice at the position, having.
We were both wondering.
Yeah.
If that was a nickname for somebody.
J.K. Dobbins.
I was like, is that Melvin Gordon? You think he's going to land in there?
No, I'm just saying that J.K. Dobbins will come back
and actually. I like juice. Don't get me wrong.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the J stands for in J.K. Dobbins.
Juice.
So it is.
Juice Dobbins?
It is probable that it's juice.
Probable.
But, yeah, you know, juice kidding Dobbins. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think you can nickname running backs juice anymore.
Yeah.
That's probably not the best thing to do.
No. Kind of ruined that, didn't
it? Yeah.
With all the murdering. Oh. All right. Number 4, Kyler Murray, who was the quarterback 4 through the Cardinals' hot start last year. Also went down with an injury, missed weeks 9 through 11 with an ankle injury. Had 423 rushing yards on the ground last season. Finished at QB 10, but again, he missed basically 3 weeks. I guess he got injured at the end of the Green Bay game.
Yes. Yeah, no, the Green Bay game, he played the whole thing and got hurt on like the last play.
He had a great deep ball last year, tied Tom Brady for the most 20-plus yard completions. Here's a spoiler alert. If they don't draft somebody, that's going down. Christian Kirk was a big part of that down the field. So they do need to – like, to me, this ranking is – dependent on them investing on a first round, and I do not a second round, a first round wide receiver, or trading for one of these prolific Metcalf style situations and surprising us. Because right now, going into the season with Hopkins, who is at this point in his career, that's the Kyler crutch. Like, he hasn't had prolific success without Hopkins. So Hopkins and Rondale Moore and AJ Green. Back on another year, that's not enough for me to keep him. Now, I have him at 5. You guys have him at 4. But it's not enough to keep him at 5 for me unless they add somebody.
Yeah, he's fragile. And I mean that not just in, oh, he's small, he can get injured.
Emotionally.
Right, thank you. I'm speaking of his person. No, I'm saying that his fantasy value is enormous. He can easily be the number one quarterback
Three number one finishes last year despite missing three games.
Yeah, and you know, 2 years ago, he was on track to be the number one quarterback, got injured, and then wasn't good the rest of the way and fell out of that spot. Last year, he started on fire and looked great. You lose Hopkins, and all of a sudden, he feels like you don't know how to play. The team is very shallow. They don't have a lot of weapons. So if Hopkins gets injured, if Rondale doesn't step up, if Kyler gets injured, I think at the beginning of the year, when everybody's healthy and we click go, Kyler's going to be phenomenal. He's going to be, you're going to be so happy you drafted him. But it's a fragile situation where I won't be surprised if it's a third year in a row where it starts great and things go wrong. And he hasn't proven that he can overcome bad situations.
Get over the cliff, you're saying.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I liked it.
I mean, contract drama, probably going to get paid.
Yeah, probably, I think so.
And so we'll see what happens. One of the weird things in us being out here in Arizona, there's plenty, and you know, the offseason has been really great for Arizona. But one of the weird things is sometimes they lean on Kyler to run the football. And then sometimes they don't do it at all. So why is that, Mike?
Why do they
like have him run it, and then it seems like a huge advantage, and then other games are like, no, we're not going to run you at all, and then it's like not an advantage.
Oh, it's because their coach sucks.
All right, Patrick Mahomes at number three,
but he's around for a very long time.
We all have him at number three. Finished at QB4 last year, and so very safe, very. Interesting to see him without Tyreek Hill unlocking parts of this offense. However, if you did want to say, hey, give me the best possible situation to remove a superstar wide receiver, I would say, well, give me like the best quarterback on pure skill in the league. Give me the best offensive play caller, potentially, with Andy Reid and the ingenuity in the offense. And then give me a tried and true tight end like, you know, Travis Kelce. Like, there's a lot of reasons to say maybe you don't get the bursts. But maybe you do. Maybe Mecole Hardman catches one this week. Maybe it's Juju next week. Maybe it's another draft pick the week after that. And they just spread Tyreek out across other options.
Yeah, MVS is known to have big weeks and disappear, and he's part of this team now. Patrick Mahomes was interesting. I wondered how far he would drop for all of us. Obviously, he finished quarterback 4 last year, and you presume gets worse without Tyreek Hill. But when I'm putting these rankings together, it's really difficult to bet against what you just described, Andy, when you are Patrick Mahomes at 26 years old with Andy Reid and other good weapons. It's really hard. You're making a bet to say you're not going to figure it out, and I'm not taking that bet. So that's why he's up at 3.
I have nothing to add.
Well, two of the top 3 quarterbacks are in the same division, and part of why that's great is because they play each other, and now they play Russell Wilson, and now they play Derek Carr and Devontae Adams. So Justin Herbert comes in at number 2. We've all got him there. So our top 3 are identical.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Look at
all
us.
All right. 38 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, 5,000 passing yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, finished at QB2, and was hot magma from week 11 on last season. Same head coach, same offensive coordinator, same wide receivers, same running back. Offensive line improved. They were... It was just a perfect scenario for Justin Herbert to make the leap as to become a perennial fantasy football power. And so, you know, if you're staring down Justin Herbert or Patrick Mahomes in a dynasty league.
Oh, it's Justin Herbert. He's to me, got the same.
Really?
Yeah, it is. He's 2 years younger. He has.
That's not enough.
Yeah, that's not enough.
At quarterback.
That
part doesn't matter to me that much.
It matters.
I think it's a hot point.
I think it's a hot debate.
I think it is a valued debate where I will take the 2 extra years when I look at these guys as near enough to coin flips without Tyreek Hill. Like, I mean, obviously this year we have Justin Herbert ranked above Patrick Mahomes, and he's younger. So on a redraft,
currently,
sure. The future weapons that might come for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, obviously, Travis Kelce will be going away at some point in the future. You know, part of this too is the fact that we talk about Andy Reid and how valuable that is for Mahomes. But I love the fact that the Chargers are going to go for it on fourth down, left, right, and center. They're going to try to put up points like it's a video game. Like, they're playing fantasy football, and I love that for opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to say that Mahomes is better for a dynasty than Herbert, sure, fine. I would draft Herbert ahead of Mahomes personally.
All right. Herbert comes in at two in redraft, and maybe Jason likes him because he has the most completions, attempts, passing yards, passing touchdowns ever through the first two seasons for a quarterback.
I'd like you to run
which also Patrick Mahomes would have had if he didn't like skip most of his first year. But what were you going
to
say, Mike?
I'd like Justin Herbert to run just a little bit more.
Okay, but stay safe.
Yeah, but the dude, he is built like Josh Allen. The dude is a tank. You could get at least, you could add a hundo to that. Rush for 404.
Are you putting in a formal request?
Yes.
All right, Jason. Let's see if your little age situation pans out here. Josh Allen is our number one overall quarterback, who is almost 26 years old. And the Stallion himself, I mean, a lot of tackles on that body in those extra 2 years. Who are you taking in a dynasty league, Justin Herbert or Josh Allen?
Josh Allen.
But he's 1.8 years older.
He's younger than Mahomes. and when you can combine, I mean, it's just what you say. You wish that Herbert ran the ball more. We talked about it. If you don't throw for 40 touchdowns, you can throw for 40 touchdowns and finish behind someone that throws for 16 touchdowns because they run the ball. Fantasy football, that's how the quarterback position is scored. They score more for rushing touchdowns. They score more for rushing yards. It's not fair, but it's the game we play. And Josh Allen is firmly entrenched to me as the number one in both redraft and dynasty.
Super fair. Super fair. I got you. Almost half the time, he was a top four quarterback in terms of weekly finish. That's difference making, right? He was number one overall five times. Mm-hmm. And six rushing touchdowns, that's not a number that's strange. It can go up.
That's low.
I mean, that he can go 10. He can Cam Newton, or he can throw the ball to Stephon Diggs, who just got a new contract. So
that was his career low in rushing touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a loser.
Yeah, loser. So, quarterback one.
763 rushing yards for Josh Allen.
That was his career high.
Do you hear that, Justin Herbert?
Are you trying to inspire again?
I'm saying he's kind of a weenie.
Oh.
Go
run.
He's just going grade school.
Look, Justin Herbert.
Grade school techniques for fantasy football benefit.
Look.
It's an embarrassment.
Let's look at the names. Josh Stallion.
Yeah.
And Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert versus Josh Stallion.
We say big herbs.
Yeah, okay, but try that against Josh Stallion.
Well, look, we'll work on it.
No, I will not work on it until he works on it.
Well, Jason's going to have to. He just put him ahead of Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Those 2 years.
All right, so Allen at one.
You guys both have him ahead this year.
Right now.
So, okay.
Well, I just think in a dynasty league, like sometimes you factor in longevity of elite play, and Herbert has had a smaller sample. So I just thought it was at least a debate. You answered so quickly that it caught us off guard. And then the answer being the 2 years, I'm like, this guy's played for like 15 years. It just surprised me. I don't think it's a wrong call.
Will you be shocked if Kansas City doesn't spend at least a day two pick on a wide receiver?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. So for now, I mean, like, they could be the big winners when it comes to the draft.
My pro Herbert stance is not an anti Mahomes stance.
That's not what I'm hearing.
All right, let's do one more thing before we close it out.
Dynasty download.
Mike, you like the video component for that drop?
My head is so large.
This is what we live with every day.
Yeah, we have to look at it.
Yeah.
I have to carry it.
That's true.
Do you know how buff my neck is?
Yeah, your neck is legit.
I have to carry it. Nice spine, though. All right.
It's breaking down.
Here's a dynasty question for you. What player will dynasty managers be most upset about after the NFL draft? Now, the way that I thought this question was bending towards is I didn't think it was going to be rookies.
It's whatever.
But it's whatever. Yeah. So I went with DeVonta Smith. DeVonta Smith is a very, very good wide receiver. He is still maybe a two at the NFL level. If you spend a first-round draft pick in Philadelphia on a prolific, larger, prototypical number one, and then you try to break 23 passing attempts per game up from Jalen Hurts, because I think if Jalen goes more than that, you're going to get some turnovers, you're going to get some issues. And they like what they did at the end of the year. So I think you're getting 25 pass attempts a game. I just think DeVonta Smith could get boxed into the same situation that I was as a fantasy player with him last year when he didn't have that. Like, he didn't have that around him. And it was still a 1-4 type of situation. He was difficult to know when to start. Right now it feels like, oh, he's a great dynasty asset. But if you add somebody great in Philadelphia, I think you may end up very sad.
Generally, when like a wide receiver who has the you know the production profile, the draft capital that DeVonta Smith is, I'm not scared of incoming rookies. I welcome them in because it's if you're going to bail on that player, you know, do you actually think that player is any good? And I think DeVonta Smith is good and can level up. But I agree with. If the pie with Jalen Hurts is that small,
it's like T. Higgins.
And right now, like Quez Watkins had 13% of the targets. Jalen Reagor had 12% of those targets. I mean,
I'm not saying there's not room for him, but it has to be a higher passing volume offense.
Yeah.
To really make you count on him. And so if a Jamar Chase like player goes to the Higgins situation, that's great whenever Burrow's throwing 40 times a game. It's not great if it's 25. So I'm just a little bit worried about how he'll be perceived in dynasty circles and how his trade value will get affected if somebody like more prolific goes there.
I would agree with you that people will be upset. I would disagree that he would become the two. There's not a wide receiver in this draft. Like my number one wide receiver, I don't think is better than DeVonta Smith. So I think that they need someone else. They need a two desperately.
Yeah.
I think in reality that could open things up other than the market share of a small pie is something.
What, 16 touchdowns, passing touchdowns?
Oh, yeah.
What if Treylon Burks goes there, right? And he's the goal line threat compared to DeVonta Smith.
Treylon Burks is my answer to this question because I think that there is potential that he falls further than, you know, the dynasty draft community.
It can be better if you fall, though.
Sure, it can be, and so long as, you know, you're not, like, tumbling down and NFL teams are passing you multiple times. But, before this last couple months, the dynasty community, Treylon Burks was the clear number one. And I think that he is, you know, of the top five, he'll be the fifth one drafted. And I wouldn't be shocked if
sixth, maybe.
Other people go ahead of him and he's the sixth or the seventh. If people are looking for something different or they're afraid of how he was utilized in college. So his landing spot, I think, could be worrisome. Obviously, we'll know at the end of this week.
And I'm going with...
Let's end the show, Andy. wrap it up.
Jason doesn't want to hear it because he knows it's true. It's Breece Hall who... he's still clearly my number one rookie running back. I think that he is still the 101 in rookie drafts, regardless of landing spot, because I think the talent is there and the situation can improve. Where I think that people will be sad is the best like opportunity spot that he could go would be the Houston Texans. And he's going to go there. He's going to soak up all the work for the Houston Texans. Like, at what point does that team turn things around? And
he could soak up some of the work in his rookie season.
Right. I'm just like, long term, fully in on Breece Hall, but I think after the draft, there's going to be some slight blowback of what a crappy landing spot for Breece Hall. But that is only because there are no good landing spots.
Come on, Buffalo.
Like, is Buffalo the best?
Buffalo's my favorite.
Buffalo feels like the best spot, high-powered offense. But they don't use their running backs. Stallion runs for 10 rushing touchdowns.
They're not going to give him all the work as a rookie on a team about to make the Super Bowl. They absolutely will not.
No, so, I agree with that. They wouldn't. I think that the majority of landing spots outside of Atlanta, the Jets, and Houston – he will take time to develop. Like, I'm terrified about the Titans being a surprise to grab him. And then he's just going to sit for a couple years I'll probably still take him 101 because I think he'll be great when it.
Right.
You know,
but I think he's probably 104, 105.
Really?
I think by the time the draft's over, the shine of some of these destinations and some of these wide receivers, if Breece Hall goes in the second round and you've got six or seven wide receivers before him, and half of those are going to places that you really – Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I think that there's a chance that Breece ends up at least at three.
I'm so excited.
There's some very juicy wide receivers.
We should do the draft this week. We should have the NFL draft on Thursday.
Yeah.
I'll call some people.
All right. Make some phone calls. All right, I think that's going to do it for today's show. One final reminder for you, Ultimate Draft Week, come celebrate with us. Get your shot at the Listener League.
You know you're getting the Ultimate Draft Kit already. You know you're going to do that when the draft season runs around. If you don't know that, change your attitude. But if you get in now, you got
It's a discounted price right now.
Best price and tons of prizes.
Yeah, so you can win a Justin Jefferson jersey, Deebo Samuel jersey, Listener League entry. So before May 1st, that's all it takes, yep. UltimateDraftKit.com.
And don't forget about Footballers Ultimate Draft Week Mania with the community event on Wednesday. We're live with the Party Room on Spotify Live on Thursday, and then we'll be live on YouTube on Friday.
I'm going to be tired on Saturday. That's what I just learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. But it's worth it for the people.
That's right.
We'll see you next time, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.